Hi, Shunetra.
Yes, hello, Farhan.
For those tuning in, me and Shunetra were just discussing what's the best cum to taste and drink. Is that what it is?
Just to contextualize this, we don't usually start our conversations like this. We were talking about how Farhan does not like alcohol, and he contextualized it as, main ek balti cum pilunga, par
I don't like the taste of alcohol. I can drink as much cum also, but then you said that, oh, it depends on who the cow is.
Yes, cow. But that's a fact. I mean,
it is.
Yeah, like vegan green cum, like basically spinach green eaters.
Don't. That's no. Only Hulk. Hulk is no, the only one.
Not
with green cum.
Visual cum. Yeah. But like
vegans. I agree. Yeah, I agree. You know, in fact,
and more vegetables than fruit. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I had not a boyfriend, but a kind of a thing. He was vegan and his cum was amazing. It almost had a fruity scent. Yeah. I was like one of those wine tasters. Every time I had his cum, I was like, what is this? And then, you know, I would test on him sometimes. I would tell him, hey, eat a lot of pineapple. I've heard this pineapple thing. And it is so true. For 2 weeks, I gave him, he was staying over at my place. I fucking gave him pineapple every chance. Pineapple juice, pineapple milkshake, pineapple this, pineapple that. Except pineapple on a pizza. Oh my God. His cum actually changed in 2 weeks. It tasted so good. Also, since you're on the topic, I have noticed that I can't have anything in high in protein, like not meat, but like eggs and dal. I can't swallow cum on that day. I get stomach cramps. The day I have eggs or dal, and if I have cum on that day, I get terrible have cum.
I just feel really full after one chug load of like cum. Like I feel like I'm done for dinner. Like, oh, okay. I don't know why it feels like
it's a little heavy. It's the nali nihari of bodily fluids.
Like it feels like soda wala rice. Like it expands in your stomach or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. But welcome to ABCD. Yeah.
What a great intro, which has nothing to do with what we'll possibly talk about.
Yes, we should veer into what we are going to talk about right
with
away.
No proper segue. We're going to talk about,
why we sit so close, but let's talk about
long distance relationships.
There we go.
We've mastered the art of the fuck all segue.
We're all
about the fuck all segues.
That's our trademark. That's what you can expect when we are about to near our 25th episode.
Yes, into two episodes.
Yeah, we'll be at our 25th episode, and we'd quickly like you all to say we are going to do an AMA. Please feel free to ask us any question under the sun. Personal, non-personal, personal problems, anything. AMA, yes. Anything you can tell us, and we will try to answer them on air. Best questions.
Yeah, so just keep a lookout for that, and we'll be expecting a lot of questions.
Sure.
Coming back to the topic that we were talking about.
Long-distance relationships.
Have you ever been in one?
Why don't you go first? I'll tell you why, because I have like a weird answer for that.
Yeah, but like Mumbai, Navi Mumbai does not count as long distance relationship.
You are talking to someone who's such a recluse now that Bandra, I stay at the end of Carter Road. If you come to tell me Mount Mary, that's long distance. Okay?
Where Bombay, everything is long distance. That's the thing. Like I have legit.
Yeah.
I have met people more often when I'm traveling outside the city than people who stay in Bombay more often. So
yeah, no, I'm a child of the internet. I have never been in a long distance relationship. I'll tell you the connection between child of internet and long distance, but what about you? I feel like you have.
My most significant relationship was a long distance relationship. It was like for almost 7 years.
Entirely
in entirety.
And this involves what?
Involves
like can you fuck other people, can you not fuck other people?
It evolves obviously. Okay. And that's the nuance of it, you know. And I'll tell you why I suggested this, because a couple of days back this really sweet gentleman who we were, you know, I was chatting with on Instagram suggested because there are complications, it's a lot to grapple with.
Sure.
And we got chatting and we agreed because...
What did he suggest?
He talk about long distance relationships on the podcast. Because we both have... I mean, he's in a long distance relationship.
Okay.
So he was talking about some of his angst, whatever. And I agreed, and I because it felt so real because I'd been through similar stuff, and that's where we started talking about how the evolution of a relationship is so important because
online or offline.
Sorry?
Online or offline.
Irrespective. No,
because I don't know how it evolves. You have to understand when we get into this conversation, it is alien to me as a concept.
No, it evolves in a sense of where you start off as, what you define your relationship as, what you define your boundaries as, when you commence the relationship. That goes for a fucking toss as you kind of, you know, as you grow. Because body takes over, you crave for the person, and then you realize also this is, I was in a relationship, in a long distance relationship at a time when I didn't have, you know, money. So it was literally once a year, like once a year we'd meet and like palang tod, like just meet each other and just like get it out of the system. And then do all the things that you would expect in a relationship in this. It's almost like a speed dating thing where you're doing that within a period of like 7 days. You're doing dates, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're trying out new things, you're trying out movies, blah 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 blah. It's like crunching 365 days of being in a relationship, all the happy parts, all the experiential parts, within 7 days. So while that is one aspect of it, the other aspect is as things evolve, as you evolve, you start getting real about it. How much can I take of this? Like if I have bodily needs, what happens? I don't want to hurt this person. This person doesn't want to hurt me. So how do we deal with this? I think then it evolves into loosening up of the boundaries, and then you kind of come to an agreed upon sort of hall pass sort of a situation. And yeah, that's essentially for me how it worked.
For me, again, I've not been in a long distance relationship, but minus the long distance bit, I've had so many relationships online that have entirely thrived online, that are still existing online, that I've grown with online. Like I'm saying MSN times say up. I literally, you won't believe it. It happened last weekend. I started chatting with this boy around 12 years ago, I think. 12 years ago on MSN. He was in Dubai and very sweet, trying to figure out life, how will I come out of my parents kind of boy, which MSN said became like whatever the next progress, Skype. I remember he was one of my, he actually even till date, if I go to my Skype, I hardly ever use Skype, honestly. But he's the only person in my Skype, like, who's a contact. I don't have any other person. He was the only person I made a Skype for.
I'm sorry, I'm interjecting, but I have like two Skype accounts. I've forgotten the other one.
Oh my God.
So the other one is like the smart account, which basically just has people I've showed my like Samaj penis to. Like Samaj that's it. Samaj Literally.
Oh my God. I miss chat rooms so much. I really do. Oh my God.
The shit I've done. And oh my God.
Over the years, I've entirely watched him change. Like, I'm talking from this lanky little cute kid with long hair to now this beautiful, muscular bull of a man, boy man. And you won't believe it. He had to come to Bombay for 2 days and I still couldn't meet him because he came with his father for some bank work. And I actually got a little jealous of you because he came to Malad. So our chances of meeting...
Whatevs!
Literally, that's how much I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I knew is the closest I'll be with him, you know? And right from the time that he was like, oh my God, am I... how do I come out to my parents to being in a relationship with a married man and they separated and then who gets to keep whatever, like helping him listen to those problems. So what I'm getting at is I have those kind of relationships where, and there are plenty. Sometimes I imagine the scenario where I die And someone online puts it, oh my God, Farhad died. And all these people I never met. You seen Big Fish?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like. Yeah. Okay, that might be a little narcissistic to think. Yeah. But I think that's what my funeral would look like. That all these random people who I never met. But I had such intense bonds with over the years online. But I never dated them. Because for me, like you said a while ago, it was just real for me right from the get-go. I feel like I'm someone who thinks it just doesn't work.
That's what. So I was coming to that question. So you are a non-believer in long-distance relationships.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, yaar, real life mein relationships are so tough, the long distance mein kya?
I used to think that. But now I've come to a point where I ask, what's the difference? Really?
Valid.
I guess what's the difference?
What?
You're in a relationship with someone, you meet them like once a month?
Yeah, but won't the burn be more if they just find someone? And
so
like,
you, if they find someone?
I don't know how, see again, in what context does long distance relate?
So let's
the eventuality of you repeat meeting this person at different points, or just some person out there has dedicated them to you and you dedicated.
No, so they obviously, this means you have to have a periodic kind of, you know,
touchdown.
Yes. Okay. Otherwise, what's the point?
Kya no shit. Because see, now I can be that meta. I'm totally willing to, if a person like really fascinates my brain on that level, then I'm fine with even being in a relationship with someone I've never met. But
so that's a long, so then you're okay with a long distance relationship?
No,
then
no, but if I know I'm never going to meet them, then it's not happening.
Huh? So the question,
actually no, I'm not into long distance relationships.
That's the thing. Now long distance relationships don't mean you'll never meet people.
Yeah.
It means you're not constantly, you don't have constant access to someone because of geographies. And I used to be like you, where I had written it off after my, because this was like my one big love.
Seven years.
And literally what ended up happening
was,
how
many times did you all meet in those 7 years?
Once every year. Okay. And then it kind of increased over time.
Okay.
What ended up started happening is, you know, what ended up happening was this person would take up projects in my home city. So that would give us like a month together where the project would continue, but like we'd do like evening scenes and go out partying, go out clubbing, do like a quick getaway. And that was amazing. So that got easier. But what happened was over time, when we actually came closer in terms of cities, and we didn't know how to deal with that.
Of course.
Because we had
while you're saying this,
we had never known what being close to each other physically, like geographically, was. So that became like, how do we deal with that?
Yeah.
But coming back to that point, that once this ended, I kind of swore it off. I said, ye to hone wala hai nahi. I will never ever make it work. Sure, I can have fuck buddies in like different cities. But now, like I told you, now I really feel like, what's the difference? On an average, my last two relationships have been with people in Bombay. And I used to meet them once a month.
Okay.
Sometimes once in 2 months. I also feel like, you know, when it comes to long distance relationships, when you start earning more, when you have more access to money, it gets easier, because on a whim, you can plan like a short trip to kind of, if you're really craving for someone, then you can say, okay, so let's just go and meet this person and then come back. So then why can't it work?
Yeah. I don't know. See, it's making me question what a relationship is, leave alone a long distance. No, it's making me question what a relationship, because if it's a, I can't do the whole, oh, if we have to call each other every day just because
there's distance.
That kind of thing. But then I'm someone who needs the other end also. I can be okay being in a relationship and not talking for a month. I'm fine with that. But I know sometimes the other person is not like that. So, although while you're saying all of this, I can think of, if you ask me if I'm in a relationship with someone, we've been together for a while now, and he has to move, and then it's a question of, am I open to a long distance relationship?
Yeah. How would you deal with it?
I feel like I can do that. Mm. But would I want to do that? I don't think so.
So you would break up?
I would. Again, these are not like... Mm. These are hypothetical
questions. Yeah. But
because I don't know how I would... It's not even about jealousy or like distance and
it's just
all
like
of that.
It's not
just like,
work.
Yeah, you'll have a life and I want you to have a life and I don't want you to think that, you know, you can't have a life. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works and how open relationships work in long distance relationships. Toh, matlab, that's like meta. That's like Matrix.
Again, that's what. Like I have actually cut a relationship short because you know, this boy, he was moving to Delhi when I was in Calcutta.
Hmm.
And we kind of figured that ye hone wala hai nahi. And and now in retrospect, I crave for that relationship. Hmm. Not that it was terrible, but in retrospect, if that happened today, I would totally be okay making it work with clarity on what I would require, what we both would require. Because it's really just about that. To say, the reason why I feel long-distance relationships are so, like, it intimidates people is because everyone's scared of the pang, you know, the longing. If we figure a way around that, big deal. Like, what are we so fussed about? I feel like it's totally... I think it's the new, it will require, it will become the new age version of relationships. Like, you know, where you see each other not so
through
often.
Through screens and
all of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you're really ready to meet someone where you're not so stressed that you can't get an erection. And then you get to meet each other in a space where both of you are really happy to see each other. Then you actually do that.
Sure.
I mean, what else can I personally feel like that's like a great deal.
See, again, it's
so
all,
much space.
It sounds amazing. I love the whole, I get my own space.
Yeah.
I get to be alone, but there's someone out there. But then I can't help but feel like a lingering, but why then, you know, at the end of that.
Does it stem from this idea that when I want or when I need, this person won't be there?
No, not at all. Because again, in that sense, I'm a lone ranger. I'm having to go through most of the shit in my life by myself. Fundamentally, I just feel like nothing externally or another person outside of me cannot like complete me or help me. They can obviously help
Me,
but like, you know what I mean? I just feel like I've gone through so much of it by myself and on my own, at least the last couple of years, that I just don't feel the need to like...
Depend.
The only time I feel like I need someone else is in case there's a medical emergency and I need money. Like, that's the only time. But then thank God for like lately, you know, I've got an obsession with these sites called Keto and Impact Guru. You know these sites?
Mm-hmm.
These are all sites where basically... Shit, I shouldn't say this. But let's say someone got... Someone's baby has a hole in their heart.
I go through
those extensively lately.
Why?
Like I just, and sometimes I've just 50 rupees here. It's like a little gambling type thing for me.
Oh, so you actually donated?
Yeah, but you know, again, the thing is, no, World for All, I donate every month. I do 300 rupees. That's my 300 rupees is not anything,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But it's like my little, some dog somewhere, if he's got maggots, clean him, you know, or that's my go-to. But like lately I've been like, wait, why am I veering off into this? Long distance relationships. I don't know. I feel like I'll repeatedly just keep saying, I just don't get the appeal, the would I, won't I? I don't know, but I don't think I will.
I have a couple of things to ask, but we'll do that after we take a short little break.
Yes. Yeah?
Yes, and we're back. And Farhad's already like,
okay, chalo, why his head. Did we take a break? We should have just ended the episode. What do we do?
No, but you know, I was joking about this whole Bombay, everything is a long distance and all of that. But come to really think of it, if the frequency with which you end up meeting your paramour, you know, in Bombay, is almost equal to the frequency that you, that you know, the that you end up meeting someone who you are in a relationship with, who's, let's say, in Bangalore or a Delhi.
Okay.
Why would that be different? How would that be different?
First of all, why would I be in a long distance relationship if they are in Bombay? I'll tell you what. I guess what you're trying to say is, it's
no, so forget about the label of long distance relationship. I'm saying you're in a relationship with someone in Bombay. You, like, let's say if you really put it down to brass tacks, you end up meeting each other once a month. And but then how is it different from, let's say, you're in a relationship with someone who's not in Bombay but in Delhi?
Again, I'm handicapped to say that, because if I glance over my last 3-4 relationships, they went from "hey, just met" to directly living together within a week type situations. That includes the longest relationship of my life, which was I met him at a club, then I met him the next day, then I met him the day after that, then the fourth day, then I was actually staying at a friend's house. So we kept meeting every day until I had to actually start looking for my own place. So he helped me look for that place, and then he started staying with me. And next thing you know, 5 years, we ended up dating, living together. So I'm someone who went from, like, yeah, that to 0 to 100 miles per hour straight up. I feel like, again, if I'm understanding your question right, I feel what's happening is, for the first time as a civilization, we are starting to realize that we value peripersonal space, extra personal space, personal space, all these spaces we are starting to realize, right? Body space, like all of these things. And I know the way my shrink talks to me, I just know. And the way my friends are also, we live in a time where everybody's starting to, like, become alone by choice.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah? Like, my ideal scenario, like, living scenario would be my partner and me living in adjacent apartments.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. With a hole in the wall. Glory.
With a little. I find the idea of sharing a space too much of a struggle.
Okay.
In my head, way too much. I've not lived with someone in...
I get it, man.
Like, I haven't shared a roof
in
17 years. Actually, in the middle, there were 2 years and I ended up dating that person and it was intense. Yeah. But 17 years. Yeah. I don't know what it's like to have what you were talking about. Yeah. So for me, the default state is me in my space, and then I'll meet this person periodically. Of course I will. So,
I don't know. And in fact, again, since you're talking about long distance, I'm even thinking of a reverse situation. For example, I've never met this person, but there's a boy I've been chatting with in Delhi. I absolutely adore him. I find him beautiful. We've sexted. I know what his family is like. All of those things. I know everything about him. I saw him through a drug phase online. His whole MDMA phase that he had, all of it. Last week he asked me, "Hey, I'm thinking of moving to Bombay." Now, this is a person I've violently jacked off to whenever we've sexted. This is a person I really like. This is a person, all of that. But the moment he told me he's moving to Bombay, my brain did a little whoa. You know? Again, not that it's for me he's moving. He's pursuing a job here and it might become a reality. But suddenly it made me take I was surprised by my own reaction that, will I have to hang out with this person a lot? Even though I'm so comfortable with him online.
Yeah.
You know? So, it is...
And you guys have never met physically.
We've never met. So much so that he did come to Bombay for 2 days a couple of months ago, around November. And he was in Andheri and I was this. And I made some excuse because he wanted to go clubbing. Mm. I did not want to go clubbing. And then it was like a hectic traffic. Yeah. You've got this conference during the day. He was here only for 2 days. So we have to time it in these couple of hours and all. And it was too hectic for me. Like going to Andheri for like these 2 hours because then he had to meet his officer and whatever. So that did, you know, something, that's the thing. Like something that I wish I could show you how much I like this person. But when it comes to the reality of like actually meeting this person and wanting to be with this person and all of that, it's just like the total opposite. So it's such a weird situation for me that here's a possible long distance that could become like a short distance thing and could be a reality. But even that is just, it's too taxing. It's too taxing.
But that's just us, na? Like anything that's too taxing.
That's the thing I'm thinking. So many times the footnote or the butt of all our jokes is the punchline is the same, that we just like being by ourselves, basically.
Yeah, like I also, I mean, just there needs to be a sense of ease and I'm not going to associate a negative to that.
Absolutely.
It's not about, it's not about convenience. It's just about letting it not feel like work. You know, relationships are work, but it shouldn't feel like work.
Here's the thing, I've totally forgot to say this early on in the episode, is I have immense respect for people who are in long distance relationships. Like I cannot even imagine the kind of capacity, mental capacity, emotional capacity, trust, faith, love, you need to have to embark on something like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Of course, most of them are like, fickle. A lot of times, I have friends who still are like, oh, I'm started chatting with this boy and we are together, but we are not meeting right now, but he's here, he's in Brazil and I'm here, and I know in 2 months it's going to be like, oh, we stopped chatting, he blocked
me. I know someone who's been in a, like this couple who've been in a relationship, long distance relationship for almost, what, 10 years?
Jesus.
And long distance relationship across magnitudes, like inter-country, inter-city. Now they're both in the same city, but then, you know, a little distance away. But I think what works, what has worked for them is the conversation, the deal, basically. The boundaries that they set on very realistically judging and adjudicating what's possible when you're not in the same city. How much in a relationship can you be? What are those tick boxes?
Yeah, because see, again, like you said earlier, right? I don't want to like feel this, now this person is here, so I have to
drop everything.
No, not drop everything. But now we have to compress fun quickly. Let's take a trip. Let's do this. Let's go out for dinner. Like, I can't do that. I have a standard, uniform, well-buttered, toast kind of pace to life. You know what I mean? I like it evenly.
I completely agree, because I was about to say this, that I would be in a long distance relationship only if I would feel like doing things at the pace I would have done things at, you know, when it wasn't a long distance relationship. Yeah. You know, the speed dating thing, it all works when you're much younger, when there is, you know, the fire, the burn. But now you're just like, I have 20 other things to stress about. I don't want to amp this up for some reason. So,
what sort of, since you know yourself best, what sort of issues do you think you'd have if you had to get into a long distance relationship?
Okay, my biggest issue.
Whatever,
I'm very, very guilty of it. Constant communication. I'm very, very guilty of it. And it has fucked a lot of my past relationships up, where I just fall. I'm so content with just being by myself and this sense of I, me, myself, and like as the default state. That
I can't help but think that whoever right now is in a long distance relationship, they're like, these guys are not getting anywhere because I'm in a long distance. These guys just want to be alone. They're not helping us who are actually in a long distance relationship. Sorry, but you're saying content.
Yeah, with my situation that I don't feel the need to want to chat and talk about, you know, my highlights and... but then, I think that's one point which I've which I've kind of also started working on, in the sense that, you know, there's, I've been telling everyone about how, like, I have spoken about it before, but how I'm kind of sort of dating someone, like, it's a very easy, chill sort of a scene. But I used to hate talking to people on phones. Like, absolutely hate. To the point that, you know, a couple of days back, there was a Grindr conversation and someone, one of the guys just randomly called me, because I had left my number, called me up 2 days back. And I was so fucking pissed that he called me. Anymore? Yeah, like that was literally my first
thing. Can I tell you something? I saw a survey recently on the kind of uses. What are the things that people use their phone for in 2020? And you won't believe it. Number 17 is to make a call on that list. Number 17 is to make a call.
So literally my first... And I felt bad because I obviously didn't want to come off as rude.
Yeah.
But I firstly, he said, my name is so-and-so.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, what's your, like, Grindr name, firstly?
God,
how do I know what your real name is? Second is, even if you tell me your Grindr name, I won't remember you. I'm not, and I'm really not trying to come across as this player who's, like, swiping people left, right, center. Please, no. I just do not... Remember,
three people this month I've had to tell them what's your Instagram handle because I don't know your real name. I know your face, I know your aesthetic, but I really don't know your
name.
I know your Instagram
handle. So I literally told him that just drop a WhatsApp message. Na maine number diya hai. That's the so, and then we'll figure. And then one of the first things I said was, I'm just not a phone call kind of guy. Please, having said that, with this other guy, I'm totally okay with
it. Comes naturally.
It comes naturally.
But that's the thing, when it's right, it comes naturally.
It comes naturally. Because though, it's really like unloading. Yeah, it feels like a conversation. Yeah. And it's so easy because he also figures that, oh, ho gaya na, tumhara like time ho gaya na. Like, obviously, I can see that you're getting bored and you're looking. So it's okay. We'll hang up.
Sure.
So, and I like that.
Yeah.
So that's again something I've worked
so
on over
important.
Time.
To find a lover who has that, you're lucky he's a keeper.
Oh my god.
Because had to tell you, I'd guess in all my relationships that I've failed, in the top three, one of them is my inability to converse through anything other than in person. I cannot. And you know, the thing is, for you at least, okay, maybe, I don't know, but for me, I run on a lag when I'm on a phone. Like, I'm so awkward. Not awkward, because I have people who I find it easy to talk to for hours. Yeah, but that's because I love the shit out of them, and I don't know what it is, but like, even in my relationships, there's always been you were saying something, I can't do that. I create that. I don't know what it is. It's something I try. I just have some weird sort of social awkwardness when it comes to phone calls.
So here's the thing. My social self is really different from the self that enters my door and shuts it behind him and gets into his bathrobe. That self of me, that side of me is so unbothered about what's happening everywhere that the call is just like you said, I'm on a lag. Then I'm just like, yeah man, okay. Like, I legit 2 days back I was talking to my dad and we had a little bit of a conversation which was like valuable, which was about life, and then he started talking about, you know, it started getting cooler again in Ranchi, and I said, Baba, I do not want to talk about weather. So if the conversation is done, I shall move on. And then he was like, yeah, because I had a really strong conversation about him saying, if our conversation is veering into talking about what did you eat today and what's the weather like, I'm sorry, then there's no conversation.
I have zero patience for small talk.
In fact,
so many times people think I'm too real or too in their face because I'm making an effort to elevate small talk to medium talk.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to fucking know what the weather is like or how your day was. No,
I don't.
Tell me if your mom's a shitty person.
Yeah,
tell
like me, real shit, yeah, right?
What's your favorite thing?
Yeah.
Tell me all of that. But
tell me about current affairs in your life, in your larger larger scheme of things. Yeah. Like, don't tell me what I know already or so what exhausting. I can Google.
It's so exhausting to have quality conversation. Yeah.
And literally, this is so funny because I have, one of the biggest boner killers for me is this point in a Grindr or a Tinder conversation where someone says, fine, you say.
What else?
What else? It burns.
Dude, you're saying
my
online,
guts.
I hooked up with a boy yesterday. And till we got to the point where, okay, let's do this. You know, there's that little awkwardness there. Who's going to make the first move? Small talk has now happened. Now what, right? I'm literally stroking his fucking cock through his pants and talking to him, okay? But still there's a little, I'm like, don't go in for the kill yet, you know? And he said, what else? Like three times. So much so that, you know, can I tell you something? I have become a fucking master at knowing when someone is about to say what else. And I immediately mirror them and tell, what else? And then they get it. Oh, I'm doing that. I make them so conscious of it that they don't do it. Like, I just know when a person is about, they've run out or tapered out in a conversation. And I immediately know when to catch them when they're about to, like, bring it back.
I do have to say this. The sex in long distance relationships.
Even the sex sting.
Oh my god.
The sex
like,
sting.
You find every opportunity to just be pheromonal. Sure, you know, and the sex is just off the fucking charts. Yeah, it's like some other level, nirvana level sex all the fucking time.
Because I guess there's yearning,
just
there's longing.
Also, there's, I'll tell you what it is. It's so many fantasies packed into like a short period that those fantasies are literally fueling your sexual act at that point. Like seven fantasies fueling that one sexual act.
I also felt it might have something to do with not taking the person for granted. I feel one of the most common traps of getting into a relationship with anyone is starting to take the other person
for granted.
And one of the ways you can take them for granted is sexually. And I feel that's why it's so this, because you just don't get the chance to take the other person for granted sexually when they're not around. You know what I mean?
True. I never thought of it that way.
I don't know. When you said this right now, it struck me that obviously because you have this pent up, and see, that's the thing, right?
Chances are that if you possibly were in the same city, that's the frequency that you were.
Yeah, exactly. I was just
but
getting
now,
to that.
It just feels like...
I get it. Because there's... I'll give quick context, but my best friend, he was dating this boy while I was dating my boyfriend back then. And we were like a close-knit group of four buddies. And then somehow my breakup happened around the time my best friend's breakup happened. And while we were these friends, I did not like his boyfriend that much. Okay? But the moment they broke up, the boyfriend moved and everything. And somehow we got chatting. And the next thing you know, I felt like, oh my God, this is the best person alive. So much so that he's the only person I have a suicide pact with. Do you know what a suicide pact is?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's my suicide pact. But I basically did not like this person, and suddenly when he's out of my life, I suddenly love this person, and it became like this whole spiritual, suicidal, sexual, all of it. And I cannot forget that feeling every single time he would, and Snapchat was burgeoning then. Every single time, every kind of chat, the kind of words I would use to describe how I want to fuck him or I want him to fuck me, or like, all of those things got so heightened. Like, I would leave meetings if I saw there was a Snapchat from him. I'm not kidding. I would quickly, guys, I'll just take a quick break. I would go to the bathroom, do this whole routine where I would, I could not wait. I could not, even till now, like, just thinking about him makes, like, something crawl. I have a shot of, like, coffee running through my blood right now when I think about him. Like, so I get it. It's very heightened. But... I don't know. Now he's dating someone new. All of that is there. I still feel I love him. I'll still like have that suicide pact with him, all of it, it's all there. I still feel the same about him, but it's just distance eventually, I feel, kind of chisels and wears and there's wear fades, and tear and all of it just like really bogs down after a while, which makes you question why. Like, why am I in this situation overall? You know what I mean? So again, coming back to, does it, I thought of something funny a while ago, in fact, that, like I said, we are the first, like, for the first time in history, we all are self-actualizing and self-learning and self-loving and all of that. Fucking self-loving is such a big task that that alone is like a long-distance relationship. Today, if I was to date myself, that's a long-distance relationship. Yeah. Because one day I'm fucking hot to myself, one day I fucking hate myself.
100%.
That alone is like a relationship of its own. Yeah. A long-distance relationship, in fact. I would call myself and not answer. I would message myself and after 6 months reply, what's up?
No, I totally understand that, because the last 2-3 days I've just been in this kind of a funk. And I talk to myself every day. I go through this motion of talking about, you know, just I try to mine deep and ask myself, what's making me happy? What's keeping me happy? Am I happy? And I was not doing that for the past 3 days. And I hated, like, to the point that I stopped looking into the mirror for the last 3 days. And it changed, I don't know, I think it changed yesterday for some odd reason. It was, it was a really good conversation with a friend. And it kind of put things in perspective, blah, blah, blah. I won't get into details. But I totally agree, because we are so out of sync with people.
Who
everything
the fuck am I?
That the reality is, we are always in a long distance relationship.
I surprise. Can I tell you something? I've been a top. For the last 1 year, good 1 year. I've just been fuck top. I've been an alpha top. The other day, I was taking a bath and I was washing my butt and my finger went a little more deeper than it usually does, and then I was like, oh, that felt nice. I started, next thing you know, I'm fucking finger banging myself while taking a shower. You know what I mean? And suddenly I have this crazy urge to get fucked after a year. I just thought that was who I was for the past entire year. And now suddenly I'm this person who wants to get banged in the asshole just because my fingers skirted around my anus a little too much. Who the fuck am I?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Existential crisis.
I remember
Can't put a finger on it.
I once remember someone... My friend said this sentence and it really stuck with me. He said, sometimes I feel my body is a shopping cart for my head. You know what I mean? He just he said he just constantly feels like his head is there and the rest of his body is like this cart that just takes him everywhere. Takes his head everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I totally get it. I'm literally that person spiritually, food-wise, emotionally. I'm that person. I'm just like, I have inhabited this vestibule and I'm just like living this life that I'm living.
Would you be in a relationship with yourself?
Would I be in a, like, I am in a relationship.
No,
myself.
As in, like, in reality, if there were two for us.
I totally would. I would totally date me. I have reached at least that level of, I have self-hated so much that I have reached that level of self-love to know that, hey, I have that much value, or I have enough value for me to want to be with me, like, or coexist with me, or want to be inside me, or whatever it is. I don't know. If you ask me, one of those people also ask you, would you fuck yourself? I don't know about that. No, there is, that's a, that, like, is a question. But you'd fuck yourself? How does it work? Do you picture yourself? Because if you picture yourself as the top, then you are still the bottom. How does it work?
Because you would know how to do it. Like, you would know exactly how to do it. Like, you know, you would...
You know, lately...
Like, that idea kind of...
You just said this thing
really
where you've been hating seeing yourself even in the mirror. I totally get that. The last 3-4 days when I've been seeing myself, usually I always say this, I feel like a condom filled with porridge. I say this to my shrink. A lot of times I hate my body so much, I feel like I'm either the Pillsbury Doughboy, think in that category, paneer, dairy category, basically, condom filled with porridge. I feel like that all the time. But lately, I touch myself as not myself, if this makes any sense. Even when I'm looking in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I love my body. Mm-hmm. Again. That's but nice. I know that in a week that could change again.
Yeah, yeah.
In a week again, I will love it. So it's this, I feel like it's, you know how they say that rubber band when you stretch it and contract it and stretch it and then what's the saying? It breaks. Oh, wait, no. Then I'm
if
not
you stretch
broken.
It too much, then it breaks.
Okay, maybe I'm one of those sayings then. You know, that diamond under pressure. Like, I've put so much pressure on myself for so many years now that now I feel like now I'm of great value. Now I'm of great value.
You shine bright like a diamond. Hey, do not make that face when it comes to Rihanna.
I love Rihanna. The only problem is I don't like Rihanna's most popular songs.
Oh,
I like her less popular songs. Like Kiss It Better, that song with Kanye West and Paul McCartney.
I feel like she's not a very good like live singer at all, but I love she's evolved into someone whose music is almost art now. Like,
oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal. I was just going to say that I don't care much about her music, but I love who she's online.
100%.
I follow her online
she's
everywhere.
She's so sad.
And she's funny. She's intelligent. Sass. Absolutely. And she's all of those things.
Rihanna or Lady Gaga?
Casey Musgraves.
She's like this gold star, like gay icon.
Golden
star. But like, I'm a Gaga boy. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. If I had to pick between the two, I'd say Rihanna. I'd say Rihanna.
I'm a Gaga boy. Out and out. She's just
I heard she's made an announcement.
This Friday. So
what,
I mean,
a new album? I have no idea.
Yeah, so the new single drops. Okay. And it like, I'm sure gays are vomiting rainbows right now, because that Friday RuPaul's Drag Race premieres.
Oh my God.
And Lady Gaga releases her single.
Oh my God.
So I'm just dead.
Oh my God.
I'm literally, this is just, this is
like
about
a
to happen.
Revolution of its
own. Oh my God, yeah. Ugh.
No, I've literally only know this news because I follow like maybe 500 gay boys on Instagram and I suddenly saw all these reshares of some Lady Gaga in red.
Yeah.
So I knew,
oh my God,
some album is coming out, I guess, and all of that. Not my liking.
Oh, totally. That's like, I live for this shit.
Yeah.
I live for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So RuPaul's and we are planning to do a RuPaul's episode.
Yeah. So any questions, anything you guys want us to talk about? Like anything that, like, if you want us to talk about, you know,
talk about, if you are, if you,
if anyone wants to be on the
you
show,
you are the biggest RuPaul fan, get in touch
just
with us.
Yes,
we
yeah.
want someone who loves RuPaul,
a super fan,
as much as Shunetro, not as much as me, because I need someone else to be in that room. Because I've been in enough podcasts now where we've had to discuss RuPaul's and I just have no idea what to say. I'll tell you what I'll do on my part. I told you already, till that episode, I am going to watch season 6.
Season 6 and move on.
I don't need any background context, nothing.
Literally,
because I'll tell you
nothing.
What I did watch season 1 last
it's
month.
The shittiest season.
But I just wanted to get an idea.
Yeah.
And beech mein, I've had friends who watched RuPaul around me and I was like, ye kya hai? Okay, let me try and get into it. Not my
So once you watch season 6, then you can go revisit 4 and 5, because those are like the bitchy seasons. Like, there's
then
so
you lost
much.
Me already.
Why?
Because my, I'm about to sound it dumb this, huh? But, you know, I love insult comedy. It's one of my favorite things. Like,
so then season 6 will be your season.
Nope.
Why?
But I like refined insult comedy.
Oh, no. One of the world's
most
successful insult comedians today is a drag artist.
Okay.
Bianca Del Rio.
Sure.
So, and she won season 6.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh,
I get what
he's
saying.
What a genius. And this is, no, I'm not talking about genius. Like, I'm not talking about his just hissy fits.
Yeah.
I'm also talking about really, you know, it's called reading.
Yeah.
True reading.
Okay.
And that's just like, you read someone
to
filth. Like, it's amazing.
Our next episode, RuPaul's
Drag Race.
Followed by our 25th AMA.
Yes!
Yeah. Please send in your questions. If you think you're an amazing RuPaul's...
Super fan,
please come join us. Write to us. We'll get in touch with you. Is that it for long distance? Have we spoken?
There is no conclusion to it.
Yeah, it's a never-ending conversation.
Yeah. I just feel like anyone who's questioning whether it can work, it really, I feel it really can. Because our life is, pretty much resembles a long distance relationship. Sure. You just.
And that's the thing, right? It's so relative. It's so relative. Like, why does my idea of a relationship have to be a person has to be near me? So for someone who can, again, like, I'm coming back and circling Absolutely. Back to this, I have immense respect for people who make it work.
Yeah.
Who are in a long distance. First thing I go is, wow, I have so much respect for you. And then I quickly in my head also go, haha, kya chutiya hai. So I have no idea how to feel, but I, first thing is respect. I have mad respect.
Yeah, I mean, with a conversation with clarity, I think it can totally, it sort of burst, it can be a very successful relationship. I'm one of those optimists. Mm. So yeah,
as usual, the O word, the O positive. Is that a blood group? O positive.
Yes, huh? By the way, that is my.
You know what the joke group. In my life is? What? I'm B positive, and I am
and
the
you
least,
are never positive.
I'm B pessimistic.
Yeah,
I'm not even B positive. So yeah.
All right. So,
I guess that's a wrap on long distance relationships. We'll see you next week with a light conversation about RuPaul's
Drag Race.
That's about it from us.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcasts app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are @IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to both of us, I am Shinetro. I am Glitterbugged on Instagram, and Farhad's making me smile, but yeah.
Because you're on my Instagram right now, and I am Farhad Karkaria. You can just look up Farhad Karkaria wherever.
All right.
Okay.
We'll 1, 2, 3. Bye.